Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chump Chat. It's your boy, Johan Gomez, alongside my co-host, Tanner Tessman. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We have a very special guest today by the name of George Campbell. Two of our guests have already asked him to be on the pod, so we're so glad that we can get our boy on. We both personally know him, so this will be a good one. George, thanks for coming on, bro.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
Of course. And always remember, guys, if you're enjoying the content, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. All of our info will be in the description, so make sure to go follow us on there. But yeah, let's get into it. My G, obviously the first two games of Atlanta. I mean, you're in the starting 11 now. I mean, you guys, you know, some mixed results, but how are you feeling? New season, new you, or how are you feeling?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's opportunity, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, whether it's like injuries or, you know, suspensions, I just try to, you know, learn and take what I can, take my opportunities when I get them, and hope for the best.
I see you're playing. I don't know. Maybe it just the what I saw was wrong, but you're playing six now, no?
Last game, yeah, but that was because we had a little personal problem. One of our players had to go home the day before the game, so coach told me, "Yo, you're playing six," and I was like, "Word, like I haven't played there in a." Maybe since U16, like 4 years ago. I mean, I subbed on last year a few times there. I think that's why he was like confident to put me there. But I haven't started a game there in like 4 years. So I was like, oh, this is a crazy opportunity to play midfield. So, you know, let's do it.
How did you feel there though? Like MLS is different, you know? How did you feel playing six, bro?
It was funny because like Colorado's field is not, I don't know how it is normally, but last game, it was terrible, like bumpy. Guys were playing long balls more than usual. So getting in midfield was kind of hard. So at first I was like, you know, like this ain't for me. I don't know how to play midfield. But I think if we were to play maybe at a better field or like the Mercedes-Benz where we play on a good field and maybe a little bigger, the space would be bigger and it would be a little more fun. But that game was hard to find the ball on the ground, not going to lie.
I feel you. Playing in Colorado is tough, man. It's cold. It's cold there right now, huh?
Freezing.
Man. Freezing. Yeah, man, it's tough. But, geez, bro. Yeah, I saw a bunch of comments and I watched a little bit. I thought you played well. So, I mean, it's tough taking an L and Miles with the red card late. So, I think that's more opportunity for you, no? Like, to jump into the center back.
Yeah. Next game is Saturday or Sunday maybe against Charlotte at home. So, you know, I hope to get the start again and get a W because, like I said before, like opportunities are coming. So, I got to take them.
Yeah, bro.
Some people are lining you up. I've seen things here and there. And some people are lining you up as the next guy to maybe make a jump to Europe after a solid season or two here. Obviously, you see Mark McKenzie done it. Shout out, Mark. You've seen Miles. Obviously, Miles is still at Atlanta. But, you know, if he wanted to move or he really wants to push a move, he obviously easily could. Is that a goal of yours? And do you feel that after a couple of seasons or maybe even just one season, you want to make your way over there? Or do you feel pretty at home in Atlanta? All right, guys, football might be over the season, but college and pro hoops are in full swing. For all the latest odds, totals, player performances, props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BET Online has all your betting needs. Head over to the website of your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to get started.
You know, I feel home, but, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like your opinion can change sometimes. You know, some days I kind of wake up and I'm like, I see, you know, friends, like, you know, you guys are in Europe. I see Bella. I'm like, yeah, that'd be really cool. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, money pay raise, you get more of the spotlight, the quality is better, however you think of it. There's a lot of ups and downs. But, you know, and then there's some days where I'm like, I can't ever imagine leaving Atlanta. But, you know, nowadays I kind of just think about Atlanta and what I can do for my team. But of course, there's some days where I'm like, yeah, I want to make it to Europe.
That's an interesting answer. I actually like that answer. I don't think we've heard that before because most of our guests are always like, Europe, Europe, Europe. But I appreciate the honesty. Like, and that's perfectly fine. Obviously, you see with Greg and the national team, I mean, MLS players are still getting called up quite fairly. So let's transition that into our next question of national team. Is that on the forefront of your mind? Is that on the back of your mind? Obviously, you're still barely making your way into solid, like, consistent starting football. But, you know, obviously, you have to be thinking of that with Miles as your partner, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as I've been playing, making it to a World Cup, you know, is one, you know, huge goal. And same with the, you know, the Olympics. I think, I don't know, are we still eligible for the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The cutoff year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, those two, you know, type of tournaments, those two tournaments are like, you know, big goals for me. Whether I, you know, would be in the squad when I'm in here in Atlanta or, you know, hopefully one day in Europe. I don't think that matters, but I just hope that, you know, I can get there one day, whether I stay there or not. I mean, you need to, you don't know until you get the opportunity.
Yeah, man. I mean, opportunities are a big thing, you know, and I keep hearing you say opportunities, and one opportunity that was taken away from all three of us was the U20 World Cup. That would have been, you know, a big pivotal moment for a lot of people our age across the world. So how did you take in, you know, that U20 World Cup being canceled? Obviously, that's where we first linked up was in Slovenia, Austria, when we went on the trip together with the U20s. But how do you think that affected your career so far?
It's funny because, like, when you say it now, and I think about it more now than when I did in the moment when I heard about it, because I'm pretty sure I was one of the only ones, if not the only one. That was my first ever camp. So at the time, my mentality was like, you know, am I here just for a little, you know, a little training, or do they actually want me to be a part of this national team? Because I've never been. So when they got canceled, I was kind of doubtful that I would be in a World Cup in the first place. But looking back at it, I don't know why I thought that, because, you know, the opportunity was there to be taken. And I don't know what other center backs or midfielders were in the pool, but now when I think about it, I'm like, that was an opportunity of a lifetime that we all missed. And I wish that it never got canceled, because who knows what could happen after that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, bro. I think we all feel the same way. Obviously, players got their different paths and everyone's got their own journey, but man, that U20 World Cup would have been an experience and an opportunity for all of us to be a different player today, to be in a different scenario. But hey, things worked out well. You get all three of us are getting in minutes in the pitch in our respective clubs. So it can't be that bad. You know, it could have been worse situations with, you know, different players and situations. But obviously the 23s is still eligible. I don't know if you know how we qualify, but I'll break it down for you quick. Quick little note. But basically the 20s have to qualify for the World Cup. And by doing that, they have to get to the semifinal of their tournament. But to make us qualify, they have to make it to the final of the CONCACAF qualifications for the U20 World Cup. And if the U20s qualify, that means they get to the final. Hopefully they do. Then we are automatically qualified for the Olympics. So are you seeing yourself being in this Olympic squad? I mean, the pool's a little bit bigger because, you know, it's the 23s and it's kind of that age where everybody's kind of playing men football, you know, 20s. Some people are still playing academy, some pro, some college. It's a little different, but 23s is a little different. Do you see yourself, you know, hoping that we qualify, being in that picture?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I never knew that's how we qualify. That sounds wild.
It's just this year. It's the first time they did it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I definitely, you know, see myself having a big chance of getting in that squad. I mean, I feel like I've done well with the times I've played, and I feel like I'm only playing more minutes now. So, you know, like I said before, I don't know who else is in the pool really, but I try not to keep up with that because I'm just focused on myself. So if I'm being honest, I think if I keep playing well and staying healthy, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for everybody basically. So, yeah, I really do see myself pushing for a spot.
I love that you said that. I love that you said that. I think it's important for anyone listening, especially for young footballers like us. I mean, I think it's better when you're not necessarily paying attention to what other people do because it just affects your performance and stuff like that. As long as you focus on yourself, I mean, you know, everyone knows like the quality that they have within themselves. So I think, like you said, you'll be perfectly fine. But transitioning a little bit into something I want to ask you, considering your last answer, is, you know, you talk about wanting to be in the national team and stuff like that. If the national team continues to evolve and you see a point where being in Atlanta, even starting, being a star in Atlanta, isn't good enough to make the national team, will you sacrifice your comfortability in Atlanta to move abroad to be in the national team picture? Or is that something you maybe think about further down the road?
Yeah, that's definitely something similar to what I said before. Like, your opinion on that can change in a few years. Any of you have the AirPod Pros? It keeps falling out of my ear. I mean, I feel like, you know, now looking back at it, or now looking forward to it, it's like that's a undeniable goal, is to the World Cup, you know? And I feel like that has power in my goals over anything else. So I feel like I should prioritize that. But then again, it can change. You know, I could say, you know, I think Darlington Nagby was one of those guys who didn't want to, you know, leave and go to Europe. He was comfortable here and doing well here. He's a family guy. So, you know, maybe I turn into that, or maybe I'm hungry, you know, to get to Europe and play in a World Cup. But that's something I have no idea.
I like that. I like that. You got a girlfriend or no?
I do not right now.
Okay. So possibilities are open.
You guys got a girl? I don't have a girlfriend, no.
I got a girlfriend. I got a wifey. But your goals for this year, your personal goals for this year, and then also your team goals for this year, what does that look like for George Campbell?
Oof, I would say team-wise, I think it's clear for our team just because our coach has emphasized that we're going for the MLS Cup, Supporters Shield, and Open Cup. We're going for all the trophies. But individually, that's a good question because I haven't even thought about it myself. Or I have thought about it, but I would say I feel like my answer in the beginning of the year is always play as much as I can. And
stay healthy.
Stay healthy is always one. Stay healthy and play as much as I can. I feel like you don't know, nobody has a ceiling, but you don't know where you can go until you really start, you know, getting game time and life starts kicking off, you know what I'm saying? But your goals could be way higher than they can be in the moment, or way lower than you thought. So, you know, right now I think it's just play as much as I can and stay healthy. And then in a few months, I'm like, oh, I see this is going in this direction, so maybe I'll set a new goal.
I like that.
I feel you.
So what I'm hearing is right now, maybe we hit you a little bit early. Obviously, we'll still drop this part one, but we're going to lock you in right now for a part two so we can see if those goals have changed after a successful season, God willing. But actually, before I ask our signature success question, I want to ask, because you've played with so many different personalities in Atlanta. You have Joseph Martinez. Were you with the first team already when Miggy was still there?
I trained with them a few times, but I wasn't.
All those guys. I'm sure you have some stories. I mean, a lot of egos mixing in. Is there a story that jumps out to you about any of those, playing without any of those guys?
I think before I was it before I was signed? No, I was definitely signed. I remember I was training at the Benz, I think, before a game. And Pitsy I think he was leaving. He might have been leaving, but he was still training. He was about to go on a transfer. And he like hit the back of my ankle or something. Like a kind of like a cheap shot. And And I just like, I kind of went flying or something. And he was already like walking back. And I just remember like my goalkeeper, I think it was Alec Cannon at the time, was in the net and he yelled at Pity. And he was like, oh, why are you doing that? Kind of cursing at him. And I got up and kind of, you know, did the same thing, backing myself up. And then after training, I remember we were with the guys on the ground and just, you know, vibing, playing two touch, whatever. And they all started making fun of me for not retaliating or hitting them back or anything. And that was when I was really, like, really young. So at the time, I was like, you know, what can I do? I mean, big ego, big player, star player. I can't hit them back or anything. I mean, I'll be out of here. But, I mean, you know, a few years later now, I look back at that moment, actually, and I'm like now I wouldn't let that happen to myself. You know, not that I didn't have self-respect, but now I feel like being a little older, more mature and playing more, that's just something a young player has to deal with. And it's so relatable to every young player in the league. So, cause some of those things you just got to dust off. And then if it happens a few years later, when you're older now, you don't really take crap like that. So that's like a moral of a story kind of for young players. Like, if it happens, it happens. You kind of just got to take it, you know.
You swallow your pride a little bit and just move forward.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Yeah, that's that. Good, though. That's, yeah, I like that one. That's a good question, Joe. I like that one.
Now, moving into our signature question, obviously, our whole thing is Chum Chat, defining success, success defined. And every answer is different. So that's the beautiful thing about it. So we're going to ask you, you know, what is your definition of success? And do you think you've achieved it yet?
I would say my definition, how I always think about success is money is, you know, money helps. Money doesn't literally buy happiness, all that. But I think success is basically the same as happiness. If you know, I always ask the question, would you rather work a job and get paid little or that you love, or work a job that you hate and get paid a lot? And I think you always got to pick something that you're happy with, even if it's not paying or, you know, going to Europe or staying here. If I'm happy here, that's being more successful to me, because, you know, it's my life. Kind of, I'm not obligated to please anybody, any fans, any reporters, any, you know, friends. I always play for me, my best friends, and my family. And I feel like whatever makes them happy makes me happy. And at the end of the career, however high that happiness goes is how successful I was. So that's my definition of success. But being this young, I don't think you can judge how successful you are just because there's too much life to live.
I like that. That's funny that you say that, though, because it all is a bit relative.
It's a solid answer.
It is a solid answer, but it all is a bit relative, because if you ask your 15-year-old self, you know, are you successful? I mean, surely he'd say yes. You know what I mean? But now, like you said, you're more mature and you're like, I can't measure my success yet. You know, so it's funny how that works, because I'm sure even when you're 24, you'll be like, at 20, I definitely wasn't successful. You know what I mean?
So yeah. I think yeah.
That. But I like how you. Go ahead, Sam.
I think the life of a footballer, it changes, you know, so quick. And I think that's what we were touching on earlier, is like, you don't know your path and the ups and downs. But it's also interesting, like, to live without regret, you know, like if you're happy in a moment, but there's an opportunity that comes and you never know what could happen from it, you know, it's, you got to have that balance, you know. And I think, you know, you got to, number one, like you said, is your happiness. And if you know you're not gonna be happy somewhere, then you shouldn't go there because somebody told you to, or, you know, somebody else did it and it worked for them, or, you know, everyone's different. You each have your own path and what suits you. So I like what you said there. I think that's one of the first answers that was kind of, you know, in both ballparks of like money and happiness. And it was good.
Yeah. I like it, cause you know, it kind of goes in tune with, I don't know, like some Chelsea fans talk about, I don't know if you know who Oscar is, who played at Chelsea. Now he went to China or whatever. And they're like, oh, if he wouldn't have left for the money, he would have been such a great player and stuff like that. And like, it goes hand in hand with what you just said. I mean, you can never know his life, you know. Maybe he needed the money. Maybe he wants the money to support his family. You know, maybe that's what makes him happy. You know, at the end of the day, he didn't do it to please anyone else but himself, which I think that's super important.
That's why I hate Neymar haters. he's just playing to have fun, and he's not obligated to, you know, I don't, nobody knows him personally. I mean, people know him, but me and you don't know him personally. So we don't know what's going on in the back of his head. You know, people try to blame him for being injured, this and that, but really it's his life. He's not obligated to play and make the fans happy or make, you know, some reporters happy or some Instagram posts happy. He's just playing and playing for his family. He made his family money living with his, you know, his kid, I'm sure. So I don't even understand why people hate on, you know, him not living up to his potential. I think he's doing great. that's living up to his potential to me. So
I feel that,
Johan.
I think so too. Did you watch the doc on Netflix?
Yeah, I did. That's why I just thought about it. Yeah, I watched the documentary.
You liked it?
I liked it, yeah. I accidentally had the I think the setting was like it had the English audio on. So I was like, this would be way better if it didn't have that. And I realized I could have turned it off, but it was still good. It was still good.
Yeah, it's definitely a good message to see and hear. But I can appreciate that answer, bro. And actually one more question, because I think we're gonna wrap it up this one. But we asked Chris something similar, and I think it's important because as young guys, you know, you have that moment from academy to pro, and now you're playing with these guys, these bigger guys, and you're like, everyone has that moment where you're like, maybe you steal the ball from a big player or you score on like a big keeper and you're like, hold on, like I can't do this. You know what I mean? Like, do you remember that moment for yourself?
Ooh. I think not similar. I think, you know, not maybe not stealing it or tackling or scoring, but when a big player kind of shows some respect for you, I think there was a moment like that. I remember, you know, I think it could have been the beginning of last year or the year before, or at the end of the year before. But, you know, I remember, I guess it might have been Joseph making a tackle on me that was not dirty, and, you know, how I explained pitties earlier, not dirty, but it was a foul and like a clear foul. And he kind of held me up and, you know, did a little teammate butt tap, and as I went like, sorry. Whereas before, if I was on the academy, it was like, you know,
take it,
play on, take it, and he just stares you down and get up or something like that. So I feel like a lot of those moments happened, maybe, you know, 2 years ago after I made my debut, where I was like, all right, like, you know, maybe, you know, once you start playing, that's when, you know, older players really start showing you more respect and not, you know, treating you not badly, but you know what I mean.
I like that a lot. I can relate heavily to that, because it's not like as much on the field making plays against them or whatever, because when you're playing, you're just playing, you know, like you don't think about it. Yeah. But for sure that, like, getting that respect, it feels like, you know, it feels like you're doing the right thing, you know, and it gives you that extra confidence on the field, and it makes a big impact for young players. And I think that's why clubs like LA United, FC Dallas, even LA with certain homegrowns and different clubs, they work so well having older players that have been in the league for a while and younger players, because that respect is very important, especially in a team that's trying to do big things like win the treble of the US, you know. So
for sure.
All right, Tim, you got anything else for this boy?
I just think we wrap it up with a question we asked Bello, we asked Richard, we asked Bryce, and now we're asking you, who do you want to see next on Chump Chat? Could be anybody. Ooh.
I didn't even think about that when you mentioned in the beginning. I'm trying to think who anybody?
Anybody. You don't even
have to know. Anybody. Anybody.
Ooh. My boy on my team, Matchup Chole. If you guys, do you guys know him?
Okay. Yeah, I mean I met him when I went on my visit to Wake Forest, and my boy plays there. Two of my boys played there, but like I know of him, yeah, for sure.
He's one. He's a goofy guy. He's soft, like soft spoken. Like his voice is very soft. He's pretty quiet if you don't know him, but he's a goofy guy. I want to see if I got anybody else that's not on my team. You feel me? I don't want to have any teammates. Dang, who was recommended in the past? Like not me, but other guys that were recommended.
We've gotten as big as like Weston. They've recommended
Christian. Those are tough to get, but
we're working our way up there for sure.
Yeah, I respect it. I respect it. Y'all been around. I feel like U.S. soccer and more abroad people than I have, so I can't think of anybody that's like a step up from me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you think of anyone, you can DM to us, and then we'll have our editor
for sure.
Up on the screen.
All right, for sure.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's it. You have anything you want to say? I mean, obviously, we're going to plug your socials. Your Instagram popped up throughout the video. Is your Twitter the same as your Instagram?
No, it's not. I don't even know my Twitter.
We'll pop up your Twitter also. We'll figure it out for you, my boy, and go show him love. Obviously, follow Atlanta United on every social to stay up to date with George and everything that he's doing this season on his quest to get the U.S. treble. Anything you want to say, bro?
Nah, just thank you guys for having me. It's good seeing y'all. And, you know, hopefully I see y'all soon on the field or wherever else.
Of course, bro. Hopefully. Nice. Fingers crossed. I think we will, definitely. But thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. If you like the content, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Check out our Instagram, our Twitter, everything down in the link in the description. And as we always say, go find your own success. Deuces.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.